thinking. You're thinking, we've already used a lot of time today, and we know how he goes on. But, I have to go this way? Hey, yeah, all right. We are going to be not in 1 Corinthians this morning. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I do have an abbreviated message. The title of the message is The Faith of Our Mothers. And there are several women we could use in inspiration for this message. Mostly we're just going to lift it from the text and talk about Timothy and his mom and grandma. But many of you maybe had a godly mother in your life. I know I did. My mom prayed for me incessantly because if you'd known me as a child and especially as a youth, you would know why. It's just amazing I survived my youth. I loved everything fast and in the air, that kind of stuff. But more than that, my mom prayed, I guarantee you, she prayed that God would use me somehow in this life. And I just want you to know that behind some of these men who stand to preach are women who have prayed diligently for them for many, many years. And my mom is one of them, and she continues to. And she continues to amaze me as she stands by my dad's side. And it's not easy because dad's got Alzheimer's now, and he is hard to care for. And yet she's there standing by his side. So today is Mother's Day. I love the fact that we set aside a day to celebrate mothers. I was looking forward to when the kids were little. I was looking forward to the day when I didn't have to do everything on Mother's Day for Sharon. I was looking forward to the day when the kids would actually get up early and make her breakfast and that kind of stuff. And I realized this morning that that day, A, never happened, and B, it's now too late. So it's back on me again, but that's okay. It's been a joy. We should probably read the text. No amount of digging is going to get me out of this hole. But in 2 Timothy 1, in verses 1 through 5, the Apostle Paul starts his letter to Timothy. And this is the last letter he writes to Timothy before Paul is executed. And Timothy is very close to Paul. They're like a father-son relationship. But notice what Paul says. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. He says, I thank God, whom I serve as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may fill you, or that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I now am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is given to you through the laying on of my hands. And so the Apostle Paul is reminding Timothy, and really he's bringing to his own remembrance the faith not only of Timothy, but also his mother and his grandmother. If you would turn with me also to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Paul a lot of times would send some of these young men off to different places. So Paul sent Timothy to Philippi to continue the work there. So Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. Paul writes this to the church of Philippi. He says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know Timothy, you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it'll go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. And so you get a little insight into the Apostle Paul and the relationship he had with Timothy. And you see that it starts when Timothy and Paul meet, no doubt, in Lystra in Acts chapter 16. More on that later. But in Philippians, he says, notice he says, I have no one like him. And the phrase there, no one like him, could be better translated, I have no one like-minded like him. There's no one who is like-minded to me than Timothy. And so you see, Timothy was basically not a carbon copy, but he was a lot like Paul. He thought like Paul, and he ministered like Paul. And so he was one who was like-minded. He was literally equal-souled with him. He had the same motives, and he had the same character. So what was it in Timothy that justified such a commendation by Paul here in Philippians? Well, in 2 Timothy, it tells us. It says that he had a sincere faith. And the word sincere there would literally be not good at acting. It's a negative word. It's almost like you would use the word, and it's interesting that, and I find it interesting, that the Greek word for which we get our word actor, or the Greek word we get our word for acting is hypocrisy. So you look at the actors today, and they're nothing more than hypocrites. And that's really what it is. If you're acting a role, you're just being a hypocrite. And it's not in a bad way necessarily. You're just not being yourself. You're being someone else. And so this word is the exact opposite of that. This word is Timothy was one who was sincere. He was not good at acting. He was genuine. He was real. And that was his faith was real. It was sincere. But that faith was first found in his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. When Paul went to, on his second missionary journey, you may remember Paul stopped into Lystra. Even on his first missionary journey, he stopped into Lystra and Derbe. But on his second missionary journey, he picked up Timothy. But remember, it was in Lystra where Paul healed this guy, and the people thought he was a god, and they tried to worship him as a god. And Paul and Barnabas said, no, it's not us, we're not gods. And they dragged him out of the city and stoned them, or at least stoned Paul. And it was in that city. And that's where Timothy was from. And so we also know that Paul picked up Timothy on his second missionary journey, and that's when Timothy began to travel with him. Now, we don't know a lot about how many brothers or sisters Timothy had, but we do know that his father was Greek and his mother was Jew. And the impression we get from Acts is that by this time, Timothy's father has passed away. So his mom now is a widow who lives, without a husband. And for her then to give up her son to travel with the Apostle Paul is a little bit of a sacrifice, don't you think? Especially knowing that Paul, in their own very town, Paul was taken out and stoned. It would take great faith on a mother's part to say, sure, just go travel with Paul. I mean, what could happen? Right? Think about the faith it took for her to say, you can go. And the impression we have is that Timothy wasn't necessarily an old dude, that he was probably in his late teens, maybe early 20s at the most. And he is heading out with the Apostle Paul to go and do ministry. To me, this is an extraordinary woman who will give up her son, probably her oldest, who was the provider, to go to with the Apostle Paul to do ministry, right? And so as we look at this passage, we see some things about mothers here. We see a mother's faith is convictional. A mother's faith is convictional. And as we're first introduced, Acts chapter 16 and verse 1 says this. It says, he came to Derbe, talking about Paul, and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jew and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. And the way that's worded, you get the impression the father was not a believer and probably not even alive anymore. And so Timothy then would pick up with Paul and go. And it's not known if Eunice's mother was saved under the Apostle Paul's ministry or if she was a believer before the Apostle Paul showed up at Lystra. We don't know. But we get the impression that she already knew the Old Testament scriptures when Timothy was, because she taught him the scriptures when he was young. And so as we look at a mother's faith being convictional, there's two things, two ingredients about that that we want to look at. First, a mother's faith, or it's a faith that is scripturally sound. A convictional faith is a faith that is scripturally sound. In chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, you want to turn with me to chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, it says this. Just flip over there another page. 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15, he says this. But as for you, continue in what you have learned. He's talking to Timothy. Continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Who did he learn it from? Paul, who did he learn it from? Well, yeah, he learned it from Paul. But he goes on, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, talking about the Old Testament, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Well, why would the sacred writings, why would the old scripture, Old Testament scriptures make him wise for salvation? Because if he read and understood the Old Testament scriptures, he would have recognized Jesus as the Messiah. He would have recognized his need for the Lord Jesus. And when he heard about the Lord Jesus, he would immediately go, that's the answer to our issues. And would have trusted Christ as a Savior. And I have the impression that that's what he did. And so from these verses, we understand that Timothy learned the scriptures from his mother. From a young age, it says here. And you say, well, maybe he went to the synagogue and learned from some rabbis. Well, that's possible, but it sure doesn't seem like it. He says, from childhood, you've been acquainted with the scriptures. And so my guess is he learned from his mother as she began to teach him and tell him about the history of his people and about the history of God and everything, because a lot of the Jewish people passed things on by word of mouth. And so more than likely, his mom taught him. Their study of the Holy Scriptures give birth to their God-fearing faith. And God had used his word to prepare their hearts for the gospel. Her example before Timothy is that she loved the Word of God. And your convictional faith will be one that has a faith in the Scripture. And it's you have a love for the Word of God. And so, moms, I have a question. Dads, I have a question. Do your kids know that you love the Word of God? Do your kids see you reading God's Word? Do your kids see you, do you read them the Word of God? Do your kids know that you love the Word of God? It's more than just bringing them to church, and it's more than just even telling them some stories from the Old Testament about David being a little boy, you know, killing the giant, all that stuff. But moms, you have an amazing opportunity to pass down this love for God's Word to your children. I know my mom, every morning when she got up, she would read God's Word. I caught my dad once reading God's Word. Once. Now, I know that a lot of times I didn't see him because I didn't get up early enough, but he would read too. But we have the opportunity to teach our kids not just the stories about the Bible, but sound doctrine. You see, in this day and age, the stories about God and from the Bible are not going to cut it with our kids. Our kids need to learn the doctrines. They need to know about salvation. They need to know about the Trinity, about creation, and all of the doctrines. And so years ago, we were at a seminar, and we were told that one of the guys there that led the seminar was a children's pastor. And he said, you know, I started teaching the children in the church systematic theology. And you think, wow, that seems really heavy and deep. Kids can learn it. They understand who God is. They can learn who God is, and they can learn the doctrines. And so, moms, you have an awesome opportunity. You probably more than dads have an opportunity to teach true doctrine to your kids. Because you have those teachable moments with them. And you spend generally more time with them. And so it's important that your kids know that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. You can teach them about baptism and about communion and all the great doctrines that we stand on. And what an opportunity you have. So a mother's faith is convictional, and it shows by a love for Scripture. But secondly, it's a faith that is savingly sure. Scriptures are very important, but I think, too, it's really important is a mom who is secure in her faith, who knows that she is saved and believes and trusts in the eternal security. Notice here that Timothy's mom, Eunice, is described as a Jewish woman who believed. We need mothers in this country today who are saved and know they are saved. So there's no hint of doubt that they are saved. And they transmit that confidence in their faith in the Lord to their children. That they know that when they die, they go to be with the Lord. You know, I think there's too many mothers today who are dealing with their own insecurities, and they have a hard time passing on these biblical truths to their kids. They know what they believe and why. These mothers here, and this one here did too, Timothy's mom. And so a mother's faith is convictional, and it's a faith that loves the Word of God and is secure in their salvation. And I promise to go quick, so here we go. Number two, a mother's faith is communicable. In other words, she will communicate that faith with her children. It would seem that God has given mothers a special ability to communicate and connect with their kids. You notice that? When our kids were little, I'd be like, what is wrong with that child? Oftentimes, I would have to go to Sharon for interpretation. Especially with our daughter, because she was a different breed. Boys, I understand. You know, they just need to hit something or kick something or do something, you know. But girls are complex. I used to tell Rachel, you can't laugh and cry at the same time. And she said, yes, I can. I said, no. But she could. And I just didn't get it. So there were times. But moms, you have the ability to communicate your faith to your kids in a way that dads can't necessarily. So first of all, I think faith is communicated by personal education. Personal education. From the early days, Timothy was taught the Word of God. From his early days, from his youth. And it wasn't his dad teaching him, because his dad was a Greek. But it was his mom. So Proverbs tells us this, my son, keep your father's commands. Don't you love that? Keep your father's commands. Because dads go, don't do that, son. Right? That's a command. Notice what it says here. It says, and do not forsake your mother's what? Teaching. So teachers, the mother will go, and this is why you don't want to do that. You know, right? Dads will lay down the law. Moms will explain the law. Right? Dads usually just say, because I said so. And that was always good enough for me, my growing up. If dad said it, that was it. Because you weren't going to negotiate with dad. That just wasn't going to happen, right? And so, but mom, you could negotiate with mom. Manipulate. But, you know, you can negotiate. But he says here, my son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. Boy, the kids that have done that, the kids that have done that have never regretted things they've done in their life. In other words, if you have held fast to the Word of God, if you live your life and you have held fast to that, you don't look at your youth and go, man, I wish I hadn't held on to God's Word. Nobody does that. But there's a lot of us that look back in our youth and go, man, I really wish I had not strayed from God's Word. Right? We're all that way. Anyway, Proverbs chapter 7 says this, my son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablets of your heart. So, you know, usually during baby dedications, we read And we talk about how a privilege it is to teach our children the Word of God, but the responsibility as well to teach God's Word. Moms, you have such a great opportunity to teach the truth to your kids. Now, you may be sitting there thinking, man, my kids are all grown up. Matter of fact, my grandkids are all grown up. But you know, you still have a huge impact in the lives of your grandkids and great-grandkids. So just because this doesn't necessarily apply to you and your children, it does apply to grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So I think there's so many opportunities for you to share biblical truth and to help personally educate. While you're driving in the car and you see out across the inlet the mountains, you can talk to your kids about how those mountains got there, how God created all of them. And God is a master designer and creator. And just as he created them, he created you. You know, as you're baking a cake or making cookies, you can talk about the ingredients and how they all go in and all together make one cookie or one cake. And that's like the body of Christ has many parts, but it's one body. You know, there's biblical truths you can lift from everyday life. You may be out in your garden, you're planting seeds and gardening, you can talk about the importance of good soil. And you can talk about the parable, the sower and the seed. There's just so many opportunities that you have to bring in biblical truth in everyday practical life. When you're giving them a bath, you can talk about sin and how Jesus came to cleanse you and wash you clean from that sin. It's important to remember, folks, that Satan has a plan for your kids. He has a plan to wreak havoc with your children and to rip them away from you and from the Lord. So prepare their hearts for battle. Prepare their minds for this war against the enemy by teaching them God's word. So a mother's faith is communicable. It's, first of all, faith communicated by personal education. And then secondly, it's communicated by practical demonstration. Ben Franklin said this, "Well done is better than well said." Right? I mean, I know that many, many people have raised kids by saying, "Do as I say, not as I do." I want to ask them how that worked out for them. Because it usually doesn't work out well, because kids don't do what you say, they do what you do. They will always do what you do. And so, you know, when your kids, and they do something weird or something, you know, crazy, and you think, man, where did that come from? You know you're only saying that to save face. You know where it came from. It came from you, right? So it's important to teach our kids the truth of God's word. And by teaching, God's word effectively means you're going to live it in front of them, because they aren't going to do it just by your teaching. They're only going to do it by your living. The scripture is filled with examples of godly women who lived their faith out. We could go on a list and list and list of all the godly women in scripture that gave examples in scripture of what it means to be a godly woman and live their faith out. So a mother's faith is communicable, first of all, by personal education and then by practical demonstration. Thirdly, a mother's faith is commendable. Paul was writing here to Timothy to encourage him. One of the first things he does is to remind him of his godly heritage. He reminds him of the faith of his grandmother and his mother. I want you to think about how many generations you can think back of people in your family, and you may be the first generation. I'm a second generation Christian. My parents' parents didn't really know the Lord at all. My grandfather, my mom's dad, came to know the Lord when he was 70. And so neither one of them had a godly heritage. So I'm second generation. I remember one day when I sat down with Dad and said, "Dad, I've never heard your testimony. Would you tell me how you came to faith in Christ?" He was like, fear came over him, you know. But what a joy it was for me to hear him talk about how he came to faith in Christ. Because his parents certainly didn't know the Lord. F.B. Meyer says this, "It's not the quantity of faith but the quality of faith that is important. A grain of mustard seed and a pellet of dust are similar in appearance, but the difference is immense. See, it's not the quantity, it's the quality of your faith. So moms, when you hear a sermon like this, and I know there's a tendency to feel this way, there's a tendency to feel like you fall short. I think everybody deals with that in their parenting. They always feel like they fall short. Mothers, I think, probably feel it more than dads. However, hear the preacher today. Don't feel like you fall short, because the battle's not over. If Christ has convicted you of something, then great, confess it and move on. But if you feel guilt, that is not from the Lord. Let me say it again. If you feel guilt, that's not from the Lord. Genuine conviction of sin is, but guilt is not, nor is regret. That's not from the Lord. Learn from the women in Scripture, who, by the way, were not perfect either. Right? Because there's only been one perfect person to walk the earth. And the rest of us fall way short. So be encouraged. Be encouraged by Timothy's grandmother and by his mother. And if you're a grandparent today, you know, here, use your opportunity with your grandkids to infuse God's word. Use your time with them to talk about the Lord and your faith in God. And if you're a mom, look for those opportunities. They will come. They will come day by day. They will come. And by staying in the Word of God, by being immersed, by immersing yourself in the Word of God, when they come, you'll be ready. You will be ready. No one is more equipped to raise your kids than you. God has given you that privilege and that opportunity to raise, nurture, and train your children. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for Timothy. But thank you for his mom, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois, how they left a godly heritage for him. And Lord, thank you how you used him and how they share in that ministry. And how the joy that they felt as they watched him be sent to Ephesus to pastor that church there. As they watched him go to Philippi and pastor there. And Lord, as they watched him go around and be used by you in a way that other men weren't. Lord, thank you for the mothers that are here. Thank you for the many opportunities they have to teach their children. Lord, I pray that none of them would walk away from this message feeling defeated, but that they would feel encouraged to continue spending time in your word and continuing to look for those practical moments where they can teach solid truth to their children. Lord, we all struggle with various issues in our life. Thank you, Lord, that our chains are gone. We have been set free. Lord, help us to live in that freedom day by day. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.